Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. We're going to continue our message we began last week. We're talking about voices in the wilderness. We've talked about the voice in the wilderness of sin, the voice in the wilderness of surrender, and we began talking about the voice of salvation from the wilderness. Amen. And we're dealing with John the Baptist. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, he said, comfort ye my people. He said they had paid double for their sins. What was he saying? The bad part's over, amen. I've pronounced the judgment, I've executed the judgment, and now you can look for salvation, amen. And he begins there to say, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, I don't know when Isaiah said that, if maybe he thought he was talking about himself or did not have any idea who he was talking about. But we know now, since we have the New Testament, amen, that he was talking about a man named John. John the Baptizer. That's what his name literally means, John the Baptist. So let's begin reading in chapter 3 and verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he, this is Matthew speaking now, this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. What was he crying? This is what he was crying. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his precious word. Last week we talked about John and his mandate. John chapter 1 says there was a man sent from God to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Who was that light? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. To his disciples, he said, you are the light of the world. In his absence, we have become the lights of the world. Where John came, his mandate was to bear witness. Now, at this time, in the scripture that we're reading, Israel has no knowledge or no realization that their Messiah is already walking amongst him. He has not manifested himself at this point in time. Matter of fact, if we go a little bit further, John doesn't even know who he is. But we're going to find out that one day not far from right now, Jesus is coming. John's going to baptize him. And when he does that, he's going to have double verification, a double witness, that this indeed is the Son of God, the promised Messiah, sent to Israel. So that was his mandate, his authorization to do what he did. So I want to focus today on my next point of the message, which is John and his manner. His manner of life. John was a different individual. But it's not that unusual for God's people to be different, is it? Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says that his people, matter of fact, even the Old Testament confirms this of Israel, and we are described as a peculiar people. Now that doesn't mean weird. People think the weirder you are, the more godly you are. That's not true. That's not what that word means. It means it's a special, particular, chosen people that He set aside for Himself that is different to the world. Now the world, if you live for God, to them you're going to be peculiar and you will be weird. Best thing you need to do is just get over that and not let it bother you. Amen. But I want us to notice about John's way of life, his manner, if you will. And first I want us to consider what I call the mystery of John. If you'll flip over in your Bible to Luke's Gospel chapter 1, keep your marker there in Matthew 3, but look at Luke 1. You may want to put a little marker there. That's where we'll be dealing with several things this morning. But you'll remember that in the Gospel of Luke, at the beginning, an angel appeared unto Zechariah. He was a priest of the tribe of Levi, and he was serving his course in the temple, and the angel appeared to him and told him that his prayers had been answered. Now, the Bible tells us that he's up in years at this time. What he had been praying for was a son, a child. Now, I said this in Sunday school, and I'll just say it to you this morning. God always answers prayer. He has three answers. And here they are. Are you ready? God either says yes, or He says no, or He says not now. Now, if Zechariah was praying for a child, when do you think he was probably praying for that child? Not now that he was an old man like Abraham and it was impossible for him to have children. Surely that prayer began to be uttered when they were young people. So he no doubt had considered and quit praying that God had said no, he wasn't going to have a child. Then this angel shows up and says, your prayer's been heard and your prayer has been answered. Y'all going to have a young man. I like that about God. God is a God of surprises. Most all of us like surprises, especially if they are good ones. Now, when you're their age and one comes along, I'm not sure that would be... You know, I'd hate to know if Miss Me and Ann going to have another young brother. You know, and I'm sure I'm not as old as old Zechariah was, you know. That'd be quite a job, amen. But we would do it nevertheless. But anyway, you see what I'm talking about here. And I want us to look. It talks about the birth of John. It talks about what kind of child that he was going to be. And Zechariah said this to the angel. He said, what sign are you going to give me? Now listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a time to stop asking for signs. Gideon put out a fleece, but that they put it out twice. But that was not an act of faith. That was an act of unfaith. There's a time to just believe God and not to ask God for a sign to prove that what He said and He's going to do is true. And so he said, give me a sign. He said, all right, Zechariah, you want a sign? Here's your sign. You're not going to be able to another word till that child's born. He didn't really utter another word until the child was circumcised, which was what? The eighth day. How do you know that? Because that's when they named the children. And that's when John was named. They were going to name him what? After his daddy, Zechariah. He got the message across to his wife. You know, you can talk to your wife without saying a word. She can talk to you without saying a word. Isn't that true? Somehow, even though he couldn't talk, he got the message over to Elizabeth. Because when they said, we're going to name him after his daddy, she said, oh no, his name's going to be John. Right. You see, my mama could talk to me and not say a word. Mama had what I call the nostril flare. When you saw her nostrils expand, you better tighten up, you better get right, you better be aware. You're about to experience wrath if you don't do the right thing. Amen. And so it is possible to talk without having the verbal ability to talk. Amen. And so this chapter describes John and the kind of man that he's going to be. But what I want you to notice is in the last verse of Luke chapter 1. Verse number 80. The Bible says this about John. And the child grew. Understand that right now he's about 8 days old. The child grew and waxed strong. In, now, what is that word? Spirit. We were talking about some of these big young'uns in Sunday school. We were talking about Hayden. I said, that won't be long, that boy's going to hit his head on that door out there when he leaves. That boy, he's gotten tall. Amen. We've got some big young'uns. There's one sitting right over here. He has grown. I'm still used to him being the little old fella that I used to know. Amen. But it wasn't an external strength that was manifested in his life, but an internal strength. Amen. And you see, that's what we ought to be concerned about. Read the book of 3 John later on. You'll see that John's writing there a letter to a man named Gaius. And this was his prayer. This was his wish for this man, Gaius. Let me tell you what it was. He said, Gaius, I pray that you are doing as well physically as you're doing spiritually.
Amen.
You see, Gaius must have had some kind of sickness or some kind of physical problem that he had. But John focused on his spirit, his spiritual man. And he said, buddy, if your body's doing as well now as your spiritual man, then you're going to be all right. Hallelujah. John waxed strong in the spirit. Now look, the mystery of John. And was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now you ever stop and think about that just for a minute? Here he is, a young child, and as he grows into a young man, he no longer remains around the Jerusalem area where his daddy was a priest, but he goes off and lives in the desert. The word literally means a wasteland. He's living apart from people. He's living apart from society. And he did that. He lived that way until all of a sudden he came up and he appeared in the wilderness to those that lived around Jerusalem and Judea, preaching to them. Wow. One of the problems we have, and one of the problems we have as men of God is this. We get so tied up in the things of this world, in making a living, in taking care of our family, taking care and maintaining home and car and everything else, that we don't have time to spend with God. Now that's important. You've heard Brother Ike mention many times an old preacher named Joe Parsons. Old Joe, he got up 3 and 4 in the morning and he sat with God. He talked about that. I said, boy, that's wonderful. You know, I need to do that. And so I started getting up real early with my Bible to spend some time with God. And all I did was fall asleep. So I had to find another way. Ever since God saved me, for some ever reason, when stuff comes to me, when I'm laying on my bed, I don't sleep well. I don't sleep much. I didn't sleep any last night. I rested my body. But that's where things have always come to me. And why would that be? That's when you're quiet. That's when you're alone. That's when your mind can focus on Scripture. That's when your mind can hear the still, small, internal voice of God. Now, if we don't have that, I don't have anything to give you today. Now, you see, this is what I've always said to my church back home. I said, I understand that you have to work. I understand that you've got a busy life and there's so much that you can't neglect. Therefore, it's my job, my responsibility, that if you take the effort to put your clothes on, and I'm glad you did, and you come to the house of God, then I ought to have something for you. And that's always been my aim. You say, well, preacher, you ain't been very successful at it. But I'm trying. I'm doing the best that I can. Amen. So John is in the desert. We may as well say for 30 years. Then one day he shows up. Just like Elijah did. Now, let me say something. That was not uncommon for prophets. Amen. That's why I say, don't watch the news. If you want to see what the weather's doing, do that. But all that's going to do is bring you down and get your mind off of the presence and power in God. And get your mind on the problems of this world. Yep. And believe you me, that will bring severe depression on your brain. Yep. So we see the mystery of John. Now I want us to look at the mantle of John. Look what it said back in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 4. Matthew chapter 3 verse 4, the scripture that we read. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair. The Bible tells us about his wardrobe. You say, well, why does the Bible do that? Everything in the Bible is significant, so there surely is some significance in that. Amen. Now, I don't know a lot about camel hair. But I know, do know this. There was a time when women wanted a mink coat. They even made them one time out of chinchillas. How many knows what a chinchilla is? Why did they want those coats? Well, number one, look at me. But number two, that hair is soft. Now, what kind of hair do you think a camel has? I don't know. I've never rode a camel. I don't remember ever touching a camel. But in my mind, what little I do know about a camel, I expect his hair to be kind of like wire. Not soft to the touch. Amen? But coarse. Now there's some significance in that. It said that he wore camel's hair and he had a leathern girdle about his loins. So we see his wardrobe that he wears. I don't know how you wash camel. I don't know how he washed camel. I don't know if he washed a camel. I'd like to think that 30 years out there that he outgrew one camel and had to go to another camel. Maybe from a one humper to a two humper. I don't know. I don't know. Now the leathern girdle was what we would describe as a wide leather belt. He probably didn't have to change his belt. Leather lasts a long time. If you've had a leather belt, you probably still got it. May have stretched it a little bit, but you still got that leather belt. It lasts, amen. But what I want you to see about this description of John, this physical description of his mantle, is the fact that that was a part of his identity as a prophet. Now the Bible talks in the Old Testament about an individual that is described as a Nazarite. How many of you remember that? By the way, John is a Nazarite. We talked about that a little last week. When a Nazarite came around, how did somebody know that this person was a Nazarite or had a Nazarite vow upon them? They knew it because he didn't cut his hair. Now, what does that tell me about Old Testament time? It tells me, Brother Larry, that they had barbers. That people had a habit of cutting their hair. But a Nazarite did not cut his hair. Now, if you were like Samson, Samuel, or John the Baptist, who were lifelong Nazarites, they had pretty long hair, didn't they? So the identity of a Nazarite was his long hair. Nobody had any problem identifying him. Well, it was the same with the prophet, which John was too. A prophet had a different wardrobe that he wore. Now I want you to look at a scripture with me right quick. Back in the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 1. The king sent some people looking for Elijah, John the Baptist's counterpart. 2 Kings chapter number 1. And they went looking for him, and they found him. But they had a few problems in the process. But I want you to look at what they said to the king when they went back. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8. Well, let's read verse 7. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? Now listen to what they said. And they answered, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. Now notice what the king said when he heard that. What did he say? He said, it's Elijah the Tishbite. Now how did he know that it was Elijah? Because he knew that he was a hairy man. Now understand this. There is nowhere in the Bible, Elijah, as far as we know, was not a Nazarite. Amen. There was no reason, no description of him ever being a hairy man right here. So what they are talking about is his wardrobe. That he had a wardrobe of camel's hair. It was a part of the identification of a prophet. Well, now I'm going to prove that to you. Go to the next to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah. I'm going to read you something interesting about this description. The book of Zechariah, chapter number 13. Zechariah 13, next to the last book in the Old Testament. Now he's talking about, listen, false prophets. Now listen what he says. Zechariah 13, verse 4. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment. Now look at the last two words. To deceive. Now what's he talking about there? There were individuals who claimed to be prophets of God. And in order to reinforce that so-called truth, they wore a camel garment just like Elijah and like John the Baptist. Do you see that? What does the false always do? The false very seldom out and out contradicts, amen, but they take the place of the truth, amen. And so they were not prophets of God, what he's saying, but they wore the prophet's wardrobe. Now, brother, it's easy for me to apply that to the day in which we live. We have a lot of men, most of them preaching on TV, and I'm sure that there are some that are not preaching on TV, who look like preachers, declare to be preachers, amen, and they have a Bible, but my friend, they're no more a man of God than Beelzebub himself. They put the wardrobe on, and they use the words, but how you know that they're a false prophet is, the bottom line is, they're after your money, and that's how you know. The raiment, they declare to be something, but they are not. Amen. So we see his mantle. He wore this camel. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said about that. If you go back over to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 7, I want you to look at what Jesus had to say about John and the way that he dressed. Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 24. John's in prison. He sent his messengers to talk to Jesus. Chapter 7 of Luke verse 24 says this. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. This is Jesus. Now listen to what he says. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? Talking about when they went out to see John that we just read about in Matthew chapter 3. He said, what did you go out there to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Look what he says next. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled. Look at that closely. In another context, it uses the word purple. I ain't got time to deal with that, but maybe one day we will. They which are gorgeously apparelled and live, what's that word? Delicately, are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, Jesus says, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What is that? That is something that is weak, that is moved by every current of the air that passes us by. Did you go out to see somebody daintily dressed, delicately dressed? What's he talking about? He's talking about John's wardrobe. And what he's doing here is contrasting the fact that John was a man. We could say John was a man's man. With those that wore their long robes and professed to be the people of God. Amen. I'll never forget years ago. I hadn't been saved too long. I went to this church and I don't even remember why. And in comes this fellow to play the piano. And he looked like Liberace. How many of y'all remember Liberace? Only you old folks like me. And I watched him as he fluffed and as he puffed. And he sat down at that piano. And I can remember saying to myself, something ain't right about this. Why? This man appeared to be what we used to call a sissy. Now, I don't know how to talk today because I don't know what the new language is today. It's easy to offend somebody. But I know one thing. God doesn't need a bunch of sissies. God needs some men. Today's Father's Day. We need some fathers to lead, to guide, to set an example for their sons. Now I know what I'm talking about. You want me to tell you why? My mama married my daddy. I was the third child. He was a borderline genius. He was a radio engineer. He built radio stations. He could do anything. He was smart. But he liked alcohol. And that was his undoing. Hunter, don't drink. It'll never overcome you. Savannah, don't drink. It will never overcome you. Amen. And so my mama had to leave him when I was 5. From the age of 5, which is right when a young one's beginning to grow a little bit, I was raised by women. I didn't have a daddy. I lived with my grandmama, my aunts. I did not have a male role model. I had nobody to raise me as a father figure as a daddy would. I used to tell the prisoners, they'd get a tickle out of it. I'd say, I ought to be gay today, the way I was raised by women. But when I was 9 years old, I see you back here, Ricky. When I was 9 years old, my mama married my stepdaddy. Best stepdaddy anybody could ever ask for. And I've told him many times, I would look at him, I'd say, Pa, that's what I called him. I said, if I ever amount to a man, I'll say it's because of what you taught me. You see, I was raised by women. But when he came along, he showed me what a man was. For the first 9 years of my life, they were years of insecurity, of worrying about what my next school was, because we were constantly moving, who I was going to live with, so many things. But when my mama married my stepdaddy, all those worries were gone. Do you want me to tell you why? He showed me what a man was. And believe you me, I was a ninny. He didn't have much to work with, and that's what I used to tell him. He'd laugh. He just laughed. He had a big laugh. Amen. But that's the honest truth. Amen. John was a man, and his mantle, his wardrobe declared to everybody he was not a soft person. He was not a weak person. He was a strong person. He was a bold person. Walking by the king's house one day, he looked up at him. Said, "A king, I want to tell you something. It's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife." He said that knowing that it could cost him his head, and it eventually did. You see, it takes a man to do the right thing, irregardless of the kickback, the throwback, or the consequences that might be the result of doing the right thing. You see, the churches today are not showing the world what a child of God is like. What their churches are doing today are trying to be more like this delicate world in order to draw the delicate world into our churches. Fatal mistake. Fatal mistake. I could say something right now, get me in a lot of trouble, Larry. But I believe I'll pass that one by for right now. We see in John's manner, we see his mystery, we see his mantle, and now we see his meal. He not only had a weird wardrobe, he had a weird diet. Look what it said back in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. What was his meat, the Bible tells it? Locusts and wild honey. How many of you know what a locust is? You know what a grasshopper is. A locust is a giant hairy grasshopper. In Mississippi, when I was a child, there were some that would come through, and there's a lot of, and them boogers was black. They were. A blackish purple. They were the oddest, strangest looking thing, but they were huge. That's what a locust is. By the way, in the Old Testament Levitical diet, where it talks about clean food and unclean food, a locust was a clean food. Now, if I ate a locust, I'd have to have me a heaping pile of that wild honey on top of it to get it down. Wouldn't it, you? Huh? May I say this? If I ever run into anybody that eats bugs that big, I'm not messing with them. They're a whole lot more a man than I am, or a whole lot more hungry, and if that's the case, I'm going to feed them, Brother Larry. Break them from that locust and wild. What it said that he ate. That means there's times of the year, son, his cupboard weren't empty because they had spells. There was a whole lot of locusts come through that place. Amen. So what is the general description of John's manner that we see? He was much of a man. There was nothing soft about his wardrobe, and there was nothing delicate about his diet. Now, I'm glad that God didn't call me to be a prophet, Brother Larry. I might could tolerate the camel's hair with a little bit of some good underwear. But them locusts, I've got to admit, would be a real problem for me. Amen?
Pull the leg off.
I don't want him crawling back, brother. It's going to be hard enough. But that's the picture here. Jesus said, "What did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a weak-kneed coward?" He said, "No, you went out to see a prophet." Then he said this, "More than a prophet." More than a prophet. What's he saying? He's saying you went out to see a man. You went out to see somebody that wasn't a coward. You went out to see somebody that had a boldness about him that got people's attention. Amen? And he had a message. He had a message. We're going to deal with that next time. Brother Ricky, you and Hayward to come. We'll sing a song before we dismiss.